Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is Wednesday, September 4th. 2019, and per usual, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Hopefully it's a great one. We are now in September, of course, and we have been talking a ton of football. It is that time of the year. You know, just about every day here on Current Sports throughout the next few months here, probably until like February, we'll be talking football just about every day on the show, which I love. Nothing like football. And, of course, college football, the official week one of college football began last week. And throughout the week here on Current Sports, we had a Labor Day edition of the show. Of course, we were on the air yesterday. We have talked extensively about the Michigan State football team and what occurred against Tulsa. We played for you the Mark D'Antonio fiery press conference in which he called out his offense, justifiably so, but a bit surprising because that is something that you don't normally see Coach D do. You know, he usually just, he doesn't overreact and says, hey, we're going to fix some things, but I trust our team, blah, blah, blah. But no, he was very blunt yesterday, very candid yesterday when describing what he was displeased with concerning the O. So, that's what we spent the last 2 days doing. Again, primarily focusing on MSU football. What I want to do today is talk about the overall week one picture in college football because I've got some takeaways there. I've also got a few takeaways when it comes to the overall college football picture pertaining to specifically the Big Ten. All right? So, we'll dive into that. Also, later on this hour, we'll talk about the Detroit Lions because this week is the official week one of the NFL regular season. Exciting times, folks. Exciting times. I wrapped up my second of three fantasy football league drafts 2 days ago. And I've got one. You talk about last minute. Talk about buzzer-beating draft. I have one tonight at 8 p.m. as well. I'm curious. You know, we got Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Jack, how many fantasy football drafts do you do? How many leagues are you in, man?
I'm in one this year, and I've never done more than two. And I would never consider doing more than two.
It's stressful, dude.
Well, and the other thing is, it's so hard to follow because, you know, one of your key players is Ezekiel Elliott, for example. But in another league, Ezekiel Elliott's on your opponent's team. So you can root for him, but you can't root for him. It's just too much for me.
It's stressful because that happens to me every single year where I have one guy in one league, but I'm going against that same guy in another league. Then you have to, weigh your emotions. And now, the thing is, though, you know, I'm out of the three leagues, two of them are for Moolah. You know, the third one isn't. You know, we play for a trophy, though. So there is something cool on the line, like a trophy, which is awesome. But and you kind of have to weigh that as well. And then I also, on top of that, I dabble in DraftKings as well. So that's a whole nother deal. It's fun, but, yeah, it can be a catch-22 in many different areas.
However, though, this week is the perfect week to be doing your fantasy football draft. Mine was last night, actually.
Really? It was last night. How'd you do?
I really like my team. We can talk about this off air if you'd like, but I feel very good about my fantasy football team this year.
You guys use Yahoo or ESPN?
ESPN.
ESPN. Okay, yeah. I use Yahoo in all three of mine.
Do you use do you auction draft or do you just snake draft?
Auction draft.
I want to try the auction. We do snake. I really want to try the auction.
The auction is pretty fun. Now, not in all of them, though. I do snake as well in the other two. Tonight is auction, though. So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun, man. So, NFL week one about to get underway. And I want to talk about the Detroit Lions because that's your team. And there is a certain ESPN. Again, you can take this as you will, but I wouldn't read too much into it. But an ESPN simulation actually has your Detroit Lions going 0-11 to start the year. I don't think that's going to happen. Come on now.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
No,
you kidding me?
We're not
playoffs.
And we're not talking about playoffs when it comes to the Lions. They're not making the playoffs, I don't believe.
That is absolutely criminal that drop didn't have the very end of what Jim Morris says, where I just hope we can win a game. Because that would have been so perfect with the Lions apparently starting 0-11.
That would have. We need to recut that then.
Yeah, I'll get to work on that.
Yeah, there we go. Because that would have been perfect, yeah, with this whole simulation saying 0-11 to start the year. But, you know, the first depth chart has been released for the Honolulu Blue. Nothing earth-shattering, but a few points I want to make concerning that depth chart as the Lions will open up the season this Sunday afternoon around 4 p.m., I believe, against the Cardinals, Arizona, right?
Correct. I'll check on the 4 p.m. kick, but that would make sense considering it's on the West Coast. Yeah.
I want to say like
425.
425, okay. Yep, there we go. So we'll dive into some Detroit Lions chatter on today's show, and it's a fun day for me. I'm in a really good mood right now because finally, this whole Ezekiel Elliott Love and Hip Hop Real Housewives of Atlanta drama show is now done. He has a new contract that makes him the richest running back in league history, and we can finally focus on becoming the 2020 Super Bowl champions now.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah. Right on cue, Jack.
And then in response, obviously, to your Super Bowl pick there.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Hey, man. This year is the year.
You know what? I do think the Super Bowl champion is coming out of the Cowboys division. I'll say that much.
So?
Yeah, I do.
Who you picking?
I think Philly's winning it all.
You think Philly's
got it? I think Carson Wentz is going to be an MVP candidate this year. He's my pick to win it.
And speaking of contracts, Carson just got a new contract, I believe, right?
Jared Goff just got a new contract.
Or, I know Jared Goff did, but didn't... Or Carson... I thought I read something about Carson Wentz in a new contract.
That'd be pretty risky coming off the injuries he's had the last 2 years.
Yeah. I'll have to research that. But
he signed back in June. Yeah.
In June.
Yeah.
4-year contract.
Yep.
Yeah. So he did get a new deal. That's what I thought. Because I heard it this morning. I'm like, oh, yeah, Carson Wentz did get a new deal.
Yeah. So, he's at $32 million per. So it's probably fifth or sixth highest paid.
Isn't that what you want? When it comes to negotiating a new deal, you want it to be as silent as possible. Even the whole Jared Goff, you know, situation. Like, Jared Goff got paid, folks. Say what you will about his talent. The dude got paid. And, you know how we found out? I just found out I was watching ESPN, and, you know, you get that little thing coming across the ticker tape at the bottom of your television. And then when it comes to my Cowboys, there's all of this media fanfare, and Zeke has to go to Cabo, and all. Just, gosh, it annoys me. If I don't hear about another contract dispute in the NFL again, I will be one happy man.
But, hey, Al, I got bad news for you.
What?
I don't think this is the last contract dispute we're going to see in
that.
The NFL. Sorry, I hate to break it to you, dude.
It's just so annoying. You know, isn't it, dude? It's like to talk about, and he's talking, you know, they can't come to an agreement, and he decides to hold out, and he's out of training camp, and he gets fined, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, gosh, dang it.
You know,
let's just talk about the game, please.
You know, the chance, you know, we have a chance for that to kind of change when the collective bargaining agreement expires, I believe, like a year from now. The NFLPA can negotiate to, you know, maybe not fully guaranteed contracts, but, you know, a said portion, said percentage has to at least be guaranteed for every single player, and that way they don't run so much of a risk of getting cut and losing out on so much money. And you might see less contract holdouts that way, because you don't see holdouts in other leagues the way you do in the NFL.
Not at all.
Because the other three major pro sports leagues, the contracts are fully guaranteed.
They're fully guaranteed, and that's the thing. And when it comes to that discussion now, it's rumored that
when it comes to those negotiations, we could see the NFL possibly forfeit a year. I've heard about that as well.
Would not surprise me in the least. This is going to be a very, very, very interesting lockout.
It could be earth-shattering when it comes to the NFL and how they do their business concerning contracts. So, yeah, there could be a big holdout here. So we'll see what happens. But, gosh, it's annoying. But finally, Zeke, he is practicing as I speak. He's actually going to be speaking to the media around 4:30 p.m. And I'm curious to see how that media availability in the locker room goes. But I want to make some points concerning Zeke's new contract. I will not enjoy it, but I'm just glad he's back on the football field. So stay tuned for that, all right? If you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can watch and comment below the Facebook live stream there, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or just tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Let's start here. Michigan State baseball and the Lansing Lugnuts held the Crosstown Showdown yesterday. And despite the weather, Michigan State had a spirited 13th annual Crosstown Showdown last night, falling the homestanding Lansing Lugnuts 5-1 at Cooley Law School Stadium. A crowd of a little over, almost 6,000 actually were on hand for the annual exhibition contest. And yesterday marked the fourth season in a row that the two teams have met in the fall after playing the previous games in the spring. This is what MSU head baseball coach Jake Boss had to say, quote, "Hopefully the fans enjoyed a good night of baseball. It shows two teams that play hard in a little bit of relaxed atmosphere. It is kind of a preview of what our team is going to be like, and it is kind of a fan appreciation night. So to speak, for the Lugnuts season coming to an end, for the amount of fans that came out tonight with the threat of weather, it is very, very impressive. I am certainly grateful to a lot of people for making it work and spending their night out at the ballpark." Awesome stuff. And shout out to all the fans that showed up. Again, almost 6,000 at Cooley Law School Stadium last night. All right, former Spartan standout on the ice, Jim Slater. He has been named the program's volunteer assistant coach for MSU hockey. Head coach Danton Cole made that announcement yesterday. Slater replaces Jason Muzzotti, who recently joined the Carolina Hurricanes as the club's goaltending coach. This is what Cole had to say, quote, "We are thrilled to have Jim Slater join the program as a volunteer assistant. Jim is coming off an extensive pro career that included 10 years in the National Hockey League, as well as significant international competition, including the 2018 Olympics. He brings a wealth of knowledge and experience that makes him an asset for our program, and our players are excited to be able to work with him every day." So again, Jim Slater being added to the Michigan State hockey staff. MSU field hockey goalkeeper Jade Arundel has been named as the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. The conference made that announcement yesterday afternoon. Arundel, a sophomore from County Kildare, Ireland, helped the Spartans to wins over St. Francis and Kent State this past weekend. Now, Arundel played 60 minutes in both games and recorded 10 saves on the weekend. She recorded 2 shutouts in the victories to move to 2-0 in the net for the Spartans. Awesome stuff there. All right, the Michigan football program takes on Army this Saturday afternoon at Michigan Stadium. Army head coach Jeff Monken, he had this to say about the Wolverines during his weekly press conference yesterday. Quote, "Holy smokes. In 11 one-on-one matchups, we're outmanned. We're outmanned in every one-on-one matchup. Like I said, we just try to prepare our schemes and do the best we can and hope it will be good enough, end quote. Holy smokes, is what Jeff Mockin said when discussing the Michigan Wolverines. So Army finished last season with an 11-2 record. They defeated Rice last week, a final score of 14-7 there. But holy smokes is how Jeff Mockin views the Wolverines matchup this weekend. All right. When it comes to the Associated Press college football poll, Michigan held steady at number 7, while Michigan State slipped to number 19 in this week's AP Top 25. Michigan opened the season with a 40-21 victory, as we know, over Middle Tennessee State last weekend to apparently solidify its spot in the top 25, while a lackluster offensive performance for MSU in that 28-7 dub over Tulsa might have cost the Spartans to drop one spot from the preseason poll. Now, the top 7 spots in the poll remain unchanged, with Clemson leading the way, Alabama number 2, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and then LSU. And the Detroit Tigers, they lost again in walk-off fashion yesterday on the road at Kansas City. The Royals beating the Tigers 6-5. The final, again, walk-off fashion in the ninth inning. 40-96 is the record for the Detroit Tigers now. Moving along to more important stories, I don't think this is that important, but anything is more important than the Detroit Tigers. But depending on how you look at preseason predictions, this is either a really good omen or a terrible sign of things to come. With the 2019 NFL season beginning tomorrow, yes, tomorrow, folks, make sure you get those fantasy football lineups intact and ready. I believe it's going to be, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, Chicago and Green Bay. Bears, Packers, I believe, tomorrow at 8 p.m. will open up the year.
From Soldier Field, and I already have a big roster decision to make in that game, so we'll see what happens.
Do you? What is it? Real quick.
I drafted David Montgomery, and I'm just not sure he's going to start at my flex or if I'm going to start like Devin Singletary or somebody else, so we'll see.
You know, and I'm thinking about, I think we did this in year one of current sports, but I think I need to bring back a fantasy football segment here to the show. I'm going to work out the details, but I think that would be fun.
I mean, I'd have no issue talking fantasy football on the air, so yeah, I'm good. I'm good with it.
I have to pick a day when we can do that and, you know, really, and then we can maybe have some listeners call in with their dilemmas and debate that.
So. Is it like a once-a-week thing?
Yeah, I'm thinking like once a week.
Oh, we're just going to be Field Yates and Matthew Berry here from the WKAR studios?
That's the thing. I don't know how, we're not qualified, that qualified. Like, Berry obsesses over that stuff.
Yeah,
man.
It's his whole livelihood. But hey, you know, you got the platform, right, with current sports. Why not opine on fantasy football for minutes every week?
I think that'd be fun to do, man. All right, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. But check this, though. So NFL season starts Thursday, and ESPN took it upon itself to simulate all 267 games in the regular season and the playoffs using its Football Power Index, better known as FPI, to see what scores and storylines would be generated. Now, the Lions didn't get their first win, check this, until week 13 when they beat the Chicago Bears 27-13 on Thanksgiving to finally improve on that record of 0-11 to 1-11. So this ESPN simulation has the Lions starting the year 0-11. So the NFC North, according to ESPN's projection, this is how the NFC North will pan out. At numero uno, the Packers with a 13-3 record, also the best record in the NFL according to this simulation. The Bears will have a record of 8-7-1, so one tie there. The Minnesota Vikings will finish third in the division at 7-9, and the Lions will finish 4-12 on the year. Ooh, that's pretty bad. All right, a familiar name will work out for the Detroit Pistons in the near future. 7-time NBA All-Star Joe Johnson, who was fresh off an MVP performance in the Ice Cube-led 3-on-3 Big 3 League. He actually hit the game winner to win the Big 3 championship game as well. He will audition for the Pistons at 38 years old. Two sources with knowledge of the situation confirm that to the Detroit Free Press on Monday evening. Johnson last played in the 2017-18 season when he appeared in 55 games with the Utah Jazz and the Houston Rockets. The small forward, he shot just 28% though from three-point range. So, we'll see what happens there. That does it for your quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing. Folks, again, one day away from the start of week one in the NFL 2019-2020 year. Exciting stuff there. And also week one of the college football season is in the books. And we have been talking extensively about Michigan State and Tulsa. Now, I don't know what more I can say now. You know, you get to a point, you know, after recapping whatever happens on, you know, Saturday night or Saturday afternoon or, you know, in this case, Friday night for Michigan State in week one. You get to a point when you hit Wednesday where it's like, man, what can I say on Wednesday that I haven't already said on Monday and Tuesday? You know, and you're just trying to look ahead at the next matchup for Michigan State. That will be Western Michigan Saturday night. So back-to-back night games for the Spartans as they will play host to the Broncos this weekend. And, you know, we played to you the press conference from Mark D'Antonio yesterday. He was not a happy man whatsoever as Michigan State is going to hit the practice field this week. They already have and figure out some things when it comes to the O. And Brad Salem has some early pressure on him if he didn't already have some pressure on him leading into this season. So we'll see what happens with MSU football. But I want to take a broader look right now at the college football world and what happened in week one across the board, because we haven't really done that just yet. And I got a few takeaways because it was a pretty fun week one of college football. And before I get to the Big Ten, I want to look at, again, an overall view and bring you some of my takeaways. First off, Jalen Hurts, who transferred from Alabama, he is now quarterback for Oklahoma. Did he look good or what? You know, now it was only one game against a group of five opponent, but Hurts, he looked pretty good, folks. He dazzled, actually, in the air and on the ground as Oklahoma on Sunday night got a 49-31 victory over Houston. Hurts's final stat line was 20 of 23. For 332 yards, he threw three touchdowns, rushed for 176 yards, and had three more scores on 16 carries. Absolutely amazing. And you know what? I don't know if you guys saw his post-game interview, but he wasn't happy. Jalen Hurts, you know, if you listen to him in that post-game interview, I mean, he had like kind of a stoic look on his face as I forget who the sideline reporter was interviewing him. But, you know, as she's kind of going through his stats, he's just like, I'm not happy. You know, I got to talk to him. He kept saying, I got to talk to my guys. We got to figure some things out. And if Jalen Hurts has that mentality this early in a performance like this, oh, man, watch out. Impressive performance. Jalen Hurts was big, and I think he has something to, you know, I think it goes to that chip on the shoulder that he has because of how things ended in Alabama and Tua Tagovailoa and how he took over his spot. He feels as though he has something to prove right now. Justin Fields of Ohio State, you know, he's the transfer from Georgia, actually the number two recruit in the class of 2018. He looked pretty good early. Now, I thought the way this game was going, I thought Ohio State actually did not cover in this game against Florida Atlantic. It looked like they were easily going to cover, looking at how Justin Fields and that offense began the game. But for Florida Atlantic, they began to really get things going as that game went along, and they had a hurry-up offense. That quarterback is pretty tough. But in the end, it was a 45-21 victory, and Justin Fields looked pretty good. Fields was 18 of 25 for 234 yards, 4 TDs, 61 yards, and a score on the ground. Jacob Eason of Washington, also a transfer from Georgia. You know, he's kind of an old-school transfer. That's what he's been being labeled as, who actually sat out a season after switching schools. That's why they call him the old-school transfer instead of being immediately eligible. But he's the other five-star recruit that Fromm beat out with the Bulldogs. He got off he got to really show off his arm in that win over Eastern Washington. He was 27 of 36 for 349 yards, 4 TDs. So you look at all of these transfers. You know, Brandon Peters, the Michigan transfer, who's now balling out for Illinois.
My parents' alma mater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think you noted that last week too, Jack. Brandon Peters looked pretty good. You know, he was efficient. You know, running Rod Smith's spread offense. That was a 42-3 rout of Akron. And Peters was 14 of 23 for 163 yards, 3 TDs, ran for 36 yards, and another score. So looking at all these transfers, Tommy Stevens of Mississippi State, he transferred from Penn State. He also had a solid game. Dual threat quarterback who threw for 236 yards and 2 touchdowns. That was impressive. And I could bring up Josh Jackson, Virginia Tech transfer, who's now balling out for Maryland. Brandon Wimbush, the Notre Dame transfer, who's balling out for UCF. Austin Kendall, the Oklahoma transfer, who's balling out for West Virginia. I mean, that was one of the big storylines for me, Jack, looking at some of the performances around college football for a lot of these different transfers. I mean, Kelly Bryant, who's now at Mizzou, the Clemson transfer. So, and he put up big numbers on Saturday as well. 31 of 48, 423 yards, 2 touchdowns. A lot of transfers who had some pretty good games on Saturday and throughout the weekend, I should say.
No, absolutely. And I'm glad you noted Jacob Eason. I didn't get to watch him play last week. I really do need to see him play because, you know, with Oregon's loss to Auburn last week, Washington's probably, if we're being honest, the last team in that conference, the tender to make the college football playoff, which is crazy to say because it's week two. But still, obviously, the Pac-12 doesn't get a lot of love. And, you know, Chris Peterson's such a great coach at Washington. He's one of the most underrated coaches in the country. I'm really interested to see what Eason looks like. And I guess, according to your stat lines, he was pretty impressive in week one.
He was pretty impressive. Again, I just saw highlights of what he was able to do, and he looked comfortable. He's got a rocket of an arm.
Yeah, he sure does.
Strong arm, man. That's what really got me. I'm like, man, that dude. And he puts some zip on the ball. He can hit you with a spiral. He's very accurate. So I was very impressed with him. Again, 4 touchdowns on the day for him. So just transfers across the board, you know, feeling like they have something to prove. Question, Jack. In the early Heisman watch, who's... Again, we're talking about, and this is what we do. This is what we do, right? And you're cracking up behind the glass because this is what we do, man. You know, I'm watching guys on ESPN debate. Oh boy, all right, week one's in the books. Who's on the Heisman watch right now? And this is what we do. You know, after every week, we're gonna have a Heisman watch. And after week one, again, it's just week one. A lot of these big dogs playing lollipops. Who's on your early list, if anybody?
Well, let me give you just kind of my rising stock, falling stock, kind of, if you will, then through 1 week. Because, I mean, to forecast who's going to be in the Heisman ceremony is just absolutely absurd after 1 week. But Justin Herbert's basically done, if we're being honest. I don't know. When's the next marquee? What's Oregon's next marquee matchup? And they completely fell apart in the second half against Auburn.
And I really thought that Justin, he started that game pretty well.
Oregon as a whole in the first half looked incredible.
They looked great.
They looked so good.
You know, I'm sitting there, and I dipped out at halftime to go get me something to eat, and I'm listening to the radio, and people are like, oh, Justin Herbert, you know, he's just adding to that NFL draft stock, you know, in that first half. And I'm like, yeah, he's got great numbers. He looked very comfortable. And then the second half happens, and don't know what happened.
Second half didn't really happen for Oregon, if we're being honest, because right. they mailed it in the last 30 minutes of that game. But you know what? Absolutely. Justin Herbert kind of stock dropping, if you will. I don't really see it happening for him now. Jalen Hurts, I mean, Connor Mathis, got to give him props. He thought Jalen Hurts is going to be a Heisman contender, and I'm certainly not at that point yet, but very impressive week one performance for him. I still think, for me, your Heisman candidates, the guys in New York, are going to be some combination of Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, and then really the third spot could be anyone from Jake Fromm to Sam Ellinger to Justin Fields. You know, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Or even, you know, a running back like Jonathan Taylor or Travis Etienne. But for me, it'll be Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, and we'll say Sam Ellinger because Texas is making the college football playoff this year.
Oh, boy. Don't even get me started on that. I still have yet to address that hot take when I was out in the beautiful sun of Puerto Rico and Connor and Jack were co-hosting the show. That was one of the big hot takes that came out of one of those shows.
And you just watch because they're going to beat LSU on Saturday. I'm going to be unbearable next week because it's going to happen. The game's in Austin.
What's the line on that game?
I'll need to look that up. Let me get back to you here.
Yeah, look up that line. I'm curious to know what that line is. And for me, I'm going with, you know, you brought up Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin's Jonathan Taylor. Clemson's Travis Etienne looked amazing. And also Georgia's DeAndre Swift. You know, he put up some great numbers. Some big numbers, not great, big numbers. Taylor, I think out of those names, those three names for me, because those are the three names that really stood out to me, I guess, after just week one. But he had 183 yards from scrimmage, four touchdowns, and a little more than two quarters in that 49-0 blowout of South Florida. And Wisconsin has shown a willingness to give him a heavy, heavy, heavy workload. So he is going to continue to put up big numbers if they continue with that game plan moving forward. And Etienne and Swift, you know, they have Heisman competition actually on their own teams and quarterbacks, you know, Lawrence and Fromm as well. And Swift in particular will be sharing carries in that Bulldogs pretty deep backfield. Still, though, both of those players in Etienne and Swift, from what I saw, made strong opening statements. Etienne ran for 205 yards, three touchdowns, on only 12 carries in that 52-14 win over Georgia Tech. And then Swift going for 149 yards on 16 carries in Georgia's 30-6 win at Vandy. So we'll see what happens there. What's the line on that game, Jack?
Yeah, so it's actually LSU -5.5. So they're favored in Austin.
I'm going LSU to win that game as well.
I am not perturbed. Texas will not only cover, but they will win this game outright. And again, they're going to the college football playoff this year.
Wow.
Al, Jack, I have never bet on Texas in my life. Like, I've never bought into Texas as a program since Mack Brown left. Yeah. But I do believe Tom Herman is going to be a mainstay in the Big 12 for a long time. I don't know if he's ever going to win a national championship at Texas, but I absolutely think they will make the playoff sooner rather than later. And I'm just picking them to do it this year. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, as a whole, I buy into Texas as a program now with Tom Herman, and I just think it's going to happen this year because I don't really believe in Jalen Hurts, and I know he looked great on Saturday, but, you know, when he goes up against some, he did look great, but, I mean, against a Group of Five team in Houston. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, for me, I think this is Texas's year to break through and win the Big 12.
And the big reason, reading through all of that, you're a big Herman guy then.
I am a big Herman guy. And even after Jalen Hurts' performance on Saturday, would you still take him over Sam Ellinger? I wouldn't.
Let's talk week two. Because he looked damn
after
good.
After 1 week.
He looked
after
really
one
good.
Week,
know,
Jalen Hurts is surpassed Sam Ellinger.
Sam Ellinger
looked damn good, too.
He did. But that presser, I don't know. I just saw like an eye of the tiger. When he's just like, yeah, I'm not happy. You know, I got to talk to my guys. And how about Mack Brown? You brought up Mack Brown. How about Mack Brown returning to college football, coaching North Carolina?
I completely forgot he came back.
Yeah.
Like
that went over, oh my gosh, who did they play?
It was North Carolina versus South Carolina.
South Carolina, yeah. Exactly. And you know, coming back and getting that win, that was pretty big, man. That was awesome to see. And then the locker room celebration. I love Mack Brown. He's awesome. And
I had no idea that he came back to coaching. Like, I completely forgot about it until I saw all over Twitter, and it was like, oh, yeah, He's
I
back.
Forgot about it until college game day that morning. I'm you know the other? Saying, oh yeah, Mac Brown is back.
You know the other one I forgot about, and he made huge headlines over the weekend was Hugh Freeze.
Yeah,
Hugh Freeze back right. coaching from his damn hospital bed. I completely forgot Hugh Freeze is back in college football.
How amazing was
that? It's absurd.
That, that's crazy.
The other thing is, too, is Liberty is like, apparently, I believe it's a Catholic school. It's a very religious school. So for them to hire Hugh Freeze after his scandal with prostitutes inside of the Ole Miss football complex before he was terminated is just absolutely wild.
Hey, judge not. Judge not, right?
Wild.
I think that's like a, what a, it's somewhere in there. Judge not, you know, and hey, all sins forgiven. Hey, there we go. So, boom, Hugh Freeze. Awesome. That was one of my favorite stories as well over the weekend. Okay, let's hit our first break. When we come back, let's talk about the Big Ten briefly. I got a few takeaways when it comes to the Big Ten Conference as a whole. We'll look at, we'll have a wide picture look at what happened over the weekend in the Big Ten Conference and if we can draw any kind of conclusions for the conference moving forward. So, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just gave a wide picture look at the college football world. And I want to hone in right now on the Big Ten Conference because I got a few takeaways from what occurred just in week one. Again, you know, it's hard to sit here and draw these hard conclusions after, you know, just week one because, again, you're not getting some premier matchups. You know, no conference games are taking place. And let's start with, well, and I kind of already touched on this with Justin Fields, you know, the prize transfer from Georgia. He looked great early on. And, you know, as the game went along, though, there were some adjustments made by Florida Atlantic that was able to slow down the Ohio State offensive attack just a bit. And Ohio State now will take on Cincinnati this weekend, and I think that's going to be a really interesting game. Key in on that one, folks. I think that is going to be a close game, all right? But Justin Fields looked good. You know, four touchdowns, also a 51-yard run to the house, giving Ohio State a large first-half lead over FAU. But he then struggled to drive the Buckeyes down the field in the second and third quarters. Meanwhile, J.K. Dobbins, he ran for 91 yards, a good sign for Ohio State's run game. But overall, I think Ohio State, they're going to be a factor. They always are. I don't care about what happened with Urban Meyer. Ryan Day is now the head of this program, and they still have a lot of talent on that roster. I'm not in panic mode when it comes to the Buckeyes.
A factor as in a contender to win the Big Ten? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
oh, wow. Real hot take from Al there. He thinks Ohio State's got a chance to win the Big Ten this
exactly.
year. Stunner.
Well, I'm addressing this because there were a lot of people who were like, oh, well, Ryan Day is now taking over. Urban's no longer there. How will they look? And there are a lot of people
That's
still
fair.
Looking at that 21, you know, those 21 points put up by Florida Atlantic and saying, is Ohio State still Ohio State? And I'm sitting there saying, relax. It's week one. Florida Atlantic, they ran this hurry-up offense that did put some pressure and had that Ohio State defense on its heels. But at the end of the day, a win is a win, 45-21. Justin Fields looked good. Let's see what happens as the season rolls along.
Well, and I mean, you say there is Ohio State still Ohio State. I guess my question would be, what do you mean by that? Are they the same team?
Are they still the dominant team?
No, they're not the same team without Urban Meyer.
I think it's too early to say that.
Well, I still think, moving forward, I think under Ryan Day, they're still absolutely going to be a contender year in and year out in the Big Ten. The problem is, I can't say Ohio State's still going to be a national contender. I mean, they won the national championship in 2014. I don't see them doing that under Ryan Day until I see it with my own eyes, because otherwise that's disrespectful to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is one of the two or three three greatest college football coaches of all time.
I hear what you're saying on that, Jack. Totally. You're going to lose something when you lose a coach like Urban Meyer.
Exactly.
But the talent that this team has on this squad, you can't just say, well, Ohio State's not the same team. Let's just wait and see what happens as the year
goes along. Right. For this season, I agree with you. But as a program, I don't think year in and year out moving forward after this season, they're going to be the same power they were under
Urban
Meyer.
I'm just talking about this season. Let's just see what happens. I'm just talking about, I'm not even looking that far down. I'm looking at this season right now. It's so fresh. Urban just left. I'm still getting used to seeing him behind a desk on Fox Sports right now.
Yeah.
Let's just see what happens.
That's fair. And I mean, they're all still basically his players there. So yeah.
Definitely. Michigan. 40-21 win against Middle Tennessee State University. Now, Michigan played sloppy. We all know that. That's the big storyline in this game, right? I mean, looking at that first play from scrimmage as Shea Patterson lost a fumble. But he did throw three touchdown passes. I don't know what I can draw from Michigan this early, just looking at that game. True freshman, I mentioned this, I touched on this a bit on yesterday's show. Zach Charbonnet. He impressed with his college debut. He ran for 90 yards on the ground, and he didn't even receive the most carries for that Michigan backfield. Patterson and the Wolverines, they need to adjust now to the new offensive scheme in the coming weeks. I do like, though, what new offensive coordinator Josh Gattis was able to do with that no huddle, that spread offense. I think this offense is going to be better. It's not saying a lot, but it's going to be better than it was last season. So, and they're hoping that the return of receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones against Army will hopefully booster this team, this offense, I should say. So,
do we know if Peoples-Jones is playing against Army?
Not sure. I don't think anything has come out. I know Jim Harbaugh, of course, he had his press conference on, was it Labor Day or was it Tuesday? I want to say Labor Day. I think he did talk.
I believe you're right. I believe they usually do them on Monday, and even on Labor Day, I believe he had a press conference, yeah.
Right, yeah, and I'm looking here. This is courtesy of Maize and Brew. The latest status on Donovan Peoples-Jones. Harbaugh just believes there is a chance that he could play.
Okay, so saying exactly nothing.
Nothing at all. So we don't know. We don't know the status on Donovan Peoples-Jones. So.
You know, there's also a chance I like marry an MSU cheerleader.
Exactly. We just don't. Exactly. So
there's a chance.
That's the thing with these coaches. They're not going to say much when it comes to injuries because they don't want the opposition. They don't want to give the opposition any kind of inside scoop, I guess you can say. So, when it comes to the Wolverines, I just got to see more. I got to see more because I'm just not going to sit here and draw some hard conclusion with them as well. Iowa got a 38-14 win against Miami of Ohio. It's Miami of Ohio, but they took care of business against the Redhawks in the second half after only leading 10-7 midway through the game. Nate Stanley had three touchdown passes. Iowa's ground game looked strong. Mekhi Sargent, he looked pretty solid in that game. Got to see more from them. They will play Rutgers this week. And then you have Penn State, 79 points. 79, folks. 79-7 against Idaho. I can't draw anything from that because it's Idaho, and you put up 70. That's like those are Madden NFL 20 type numbers. That's insane. Wisconsin, you know, I touched on Jonathan Taylor. He is going to be the centerpiece of that offense, I believe. They're going to give him a lot of carries. You know, I mentioned before the first break, 135 yards, four touchdowns, leading Wisconsin in that 49-0 shutout at South Florida. Northwestern, was that an ugly game or what? They lost that game against, I think, will be a pretty solid Stanford team. That was a 17-7 final, again, resulting in a loss to the Wildcats. And, you know, the defense did hold the Cardinal to 10 points, but a lot of missed tackles in that game, a lot of bad penalties from what I saw in a Big Ten Network montage when they replayed that one. So it was just really sloppy, and Northwestern starts off with a loss there, Jack.
Yeah, absolutely, and I don't know if they would have held them to only 10 points. Northwestern's defense, that is, if KJ Costello doesn't go down, and I believe the first half of that game.
Right.
So,
right,
I mean,
right.
We'll see what happens there in terms of his injury, that is. And the other thing is, too, that game, for me, The Northwestern game, I should say, for Michigan State, a little bit down the road, I believe it's like week four or week five for him. You know, I was nervous about that from the Michigan State perspective when the season opened. But after watching Hunter Johnson play last week, oh my goodness, that guy got into Clemson?
Yeah.
There's got to be more there. There's got to be more there from Hunter Johnson, because he looked bad.
He did look bad. And, you know, we touched upon that on yesterday's show as well. Let's see what happens in the next game. But, yeah, I know what you mean. He got recruited by Clemson, though.
7 points?
Seven points.
And then he fumbles at the end of the game into his own end zone to end it.
Right, exactly. I know. That was shocking, because I was expecting a big game from him, you know, speaking of, like, the transfer quarterbacks, right? And then you have Nebraska getting a 35-21 win versus South Alabama. You know, Nebraska actually was outgained by the Jaguars in yardage, 314-276. Adrian Martinez and the rest of the offense struggled at times to move the ball. Scott Frost and company still have a lot of questions to answer. We'll see what happens this weekend as they take on Colorado on the road. Minnesota getting a 28-21 win versus South Dakota State. They will next play at Fresno State. Then you have Maryland. Maryland got a, talk about another big win, 79-0 against Howard. I feel bad for Howard. That's just not fair. And the Terps actually jumped two spots ahead of Purdue and Indiana as a result. In the eyes of many, when it comes to the Big Ten power rankings, when it comes to this dismantling of Howard. And, you know, I guess Howard still gets some money out of this. They get some moolah for getting handed a 79-0 loss at the hands.
You know who else gets some nice money?
What's that?
Georgia State.
Yeah, Georgia State.
Over Tennessee.
Right. I know. How crazy was that? That was a crazy one.
Tennessee
as well.
Is such an embarrassment to college football anymore. Goodness gracious.
And
they should be relegated like in soccer.
One of our current sports PAs, former current sports PAs, Michael Epps, I want to say congratulations to Michael. He just got a job as a digital sports reporter out there in Tennessee for a local station. I saw he had like an introductory live stream with him and the sports director, and they were talking about that loss, because that station's out there in Tennessee, and they were talking about the loss to Tennessee, by Tennessee, I should say, and just how heartbroken fans are right now with that fan base. So, yeah, it's pretty bad.
I do want to go see Knoxville sometimes, though. I'm sure that's a very cool college town.
Yeah, for sure, without a doubt. I mean, they still live, breathe, and eat football out there.
It's just so different in the SEC, man. So many cool venues I'd love to go to.
Definitely. So many. So, and the Terps had 623 yards in that win over Howard. Other scores, you had Purdue losing to Nevada on the road. That was 34-31, the final there.
That's a tough look for Jack Ebling. Picked Purdue to go
Jack
to the Big
did.
Ten championship in the Big Ten West.
Come on, man. Come on, Jack. And also, Indiana got a 34-24 win over Ball State. And then Illinois, I mentioned that 42-3 win against Akron. And then Rutgers. How about Rutgers starting off the season 1-0? A 48-21 win against Massachusetts. They will play. They will hit the road against Iowa this weekend. And they actually look to be in trouble early on in that game. And it looked to be the same old Scarlet Knights that we're used to seeing as they were down 21-7 against UMass after the first quarter. And then Texas Tech transfer quarterback McLane Carter led Rutgers to score 41 unanswered points in a rout of the Minutemen. So just an overall view of the Big Ten Conference after week one. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, you'll get my thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott finally getting a deal done with Jerry Jones and company for my Cowboys. And what does this new contract mean for future big-time running back contracts in the National Football League, as Zeke now becomes the highest-paid running back in NFL history? We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just want to briefly address this. Finally, my Dallas Cowboys have reached a deal with star running back Ezekiel Zeke Elliott. 6-year, $90 million contract extension. Now, the deal has $50 million in guaranteed money, and that's actually surpassing Todd Gurley's $45 million as the most for an NFL running back. Now, Elliott, he was under contract through 2020 and was set to make $3.853 million in 2019 and $9.09 million on the fifth-year option in 2020. So this makes his total compensation through the year 2026 more than $100 million, in turn making him the highest paid running back in NFL history. Now, when it comes to the domino effect of this contract, I do believe we are entering, I think, a new era when it comes to NFL player contracts. You know, we mentioned earlier on in the show what's going to happen, I believe, after right next season, Jack, with this whole collective bargaining agreement, right? And, you know, NFL players trying to vie for more guaranteed money. Because with that being said, and those conversations taking place, again, a lot of people don't agree with it, and it could lead to an NFL holdout. We'll see what happens there. But so that's going to happen after next season,
yeah,
right?
At the conclusion of next season, correct.
At the conclusion of next season. So, you know, when it and I do believe that Le'Veon Bell may have started a trend here until we do have those meetings and players hopefully sit down and have a discussion with the league about guaranteed moolah. But until that happens, you are going to see more and more players go the Le'Veon Bell route and sit out until they get a contract that they feel, in their eyes, is worth their talent, matches their talent. And what shocked me with Ezekiel Elliott, though, is that, you know, he still had two years left on his deal and decided to make this move. But at the end of the day, I will always, you know, vie for players, even though this was a very personal and frustrating move for me because we're talking about my Dallas Cowboys. I will always vouch for the player if he believes that, you know, and if he believes and he can make more money than he's currently being paid, then hey, go ahead and get your money. Go ahead and get that moolah. Because at the end of the day, I do believe that with Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell and other players out there making moves like this, it opens up opportunity for other players who come behind them and want to get paid more money. And more importantly, when it comes to guaranteed money. So that's how I see this domino effect. You know, there's this picture posted on the Dallas Cowboys official Instagram account of Ezekiel Elliott sitting down with the contract in front of him and him putting pen to that contract. And he has just the biggest smile in the world. He's all smiles right now. And that's actually what the caption reads, tagging Ezekiel Elliott's official Instagram account. And actually, with this move, the Cowboys will save about $1.6 million in cap room this year on Elliott's new deal. And he will receive a signing bonus of $7.5 million and a base salary of $752,000 this year. His old cap number was $7.9 million, and his new cap number is actually $6.3 million. So this ends this whole holdout just 5 days before the Cowboys open the season against rival New York, the Giants. So I'm just happy that he's back to work. He is practicing today, and he will be made available to the media in the locker room at 4:30 p.m. And it looks as though he's kept in good shape. I don't know how you go to Cabo and work out, because Cabo is Cabo. That's party all the time, right? But apparently he stayed in shape, and he looks good. I don't know how many carries he will get this weekend because, again, he's missed a lot of time when it comes to official training camp and official practice for the Cowboys. I'm curious to see what his load will look like this weekend. Hopefully it's an early blowout and you won't have to use Zeke in exhaustion come this weekend. But and then you have this whole other layer. Dak Prescott, he still has yet to sign a new contract with the team, and also
Amari Cooper, wide receiver for the Cowboys. Prescott is due to make $2.02 million. Cooper, $13.9 million on the fifth-year option of his rookie deal. So, and I'm seeing Alex comment on our Facebook page saying that he believes Zeke will get 20 to 25 carries. So I can live with that. 20 to 25, I guess that's cool. I don't know. I'm just hoping that all the reports are accurate in saying that he's in shape, he kept in shape, his body looks good, and he's ready to play. So we'll see what happens there. And lastly here, as we have, 90 seconds left here in the hour, the Detroit Lions. I'll elaborate more on them on tomorrow's show, but the first depth chart for your Honolulu Blue has been released. And in a bit of a surprise, it's just one surprise here. The Lions have listed Kenny Wiggins as their starting left guard on the first depth chart of the regular season. Now, Wiggins actually split first team reps, if you remember, with Joe Dahl early in training camp, but appeared to really fade from the competition. Dahl played well in the preseason. He allowed zero pressures on 43 pass blocking reps. But Wiggins is the guy right now. That was the only surprise for me. Everything else is pretty predictable.
Also, just because he's listed at number one on the depth chart doesn't even mean he's going to start.
Does it? Yeah. I mean, changes could happen. Yeah.
So, yeah, or yeah. The Lions could be lying, like
they could
teams
be.
Do on their depth chart. So,
and like, yeah, teams in pro football and college football. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, that was really the only surprise for me, though, that Kenny Wiggins was listed as number one. Then you had Joe Dahl at number two. So, all right, folks. That does it for this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Have a fantastic Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.